Just as another example, for example, with diet, maybe my relationship is a little bit of fear, because if I followed the diet fully, then maybe I'm afraid of losing friends or losing out having fun or relationships because I couldn't go out for dinner or coffee or things like that. So whatever, or maybe it's happiness because then I could finally do what it is that I want. I would be free. So like that, you can describe what's your relationship. How do you feel when you think about this practice? Is that clear?
And also to kind of think of that this is this is the lifestyle that we have, and all these practices, Baba talks about them in different ways every day, and so they are there, and maybe sometimes I take it for granted, maybe other times I don't think about why I do it, so it becomes more of a routine. I just do it because I'm told to, or that I know this is what we do, but have a really understood or reflected for myself, like, why do I do it, and is my motivation or enthusiasm for it, is it high or low, or, you know, that's the kind of, and we could do all of them, of course, but I think now you choose three of them that stands out for you most, like, when you hear about these, which are the ones that need more attention from your side. Yeah, is it more clear? How was it? Meaningful? Or difficult? So, if everybody can come back to the main circle. So the next part is that we want to share between us. So who here has done the SOL activity, the speaker, observer, listener? Quite many. Is there anybody who is not familiar with this sharing? A few. Okay, so I will explain it. So what we will do is that we will sit in groups of three. So maybe we can start with that. You can just be together as you sit along like this. So the three of you are together, then the three of you. And then you are three, 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 three. Yeah, so it goes exactly. So let's do that first, if you just split up in your little group, anywhere in the room. You can move or go with your chair together. So it's good if you sit so that you can see each other, because you're going to communicate with each other. So not on a straight line, but you sit so you can see each other. You can also take cushions here in the corner if you like, to sit on the floor. Or maybe somebody wants to use the sofa down there, it's quite cozy. Okay, so in this sharing, if everybody can please listen now. If everybody can listen, so the instructions is like this, that in each group, one is going to be the speaker. So who is that? There will be speaker, observer, and listener. So each one is going to do all the three. But who is the first one sharing, speaking? You can raise your hand. Yeah. So one person in each group, you need to be the speaker. In the group down there, who is the speaker? Yeah. Okay. And then one is an observer. Next one. So who is, and then the last one is the listener. And as we do this, sisters, can you please listen? As we do this, the speaker, you can share about anything, when we did this reflection, anything that you felt, you are free to share about anything around this, like any insights you got, or what was meaningful for you, or challenging, or the connections you saw between the different practices. So anything in your heart and mind that stood out for you. And you will have, we say 3 minutes? Yeah. So you will have 3 minutes to share, and then the listener will listen and just really be there, like present, and put yourself aside and really make sure in your mind that you don't have any other thoughts going on at the same time, but really be that non-judgmental listener, just present for the other one. And then the observer, you are observing this conversation or this sharing, and your task is to feel the vibration, the energy, to pick up like the nonverbal language, maybe how the eyes are talking, or the face, or the hands, like more the subtlety. And then the two of you will share afterwards, but that we'll do later. So is it clear, like with different roles? Any question? Yeah. So the listener, the question was if the listener reflect back to the speaker. So yes, the listener will repeat back to the speaker what was being shared. Yeah? No, you can choose anything on this reflection that we did. Like what was the insight for you, or what was challenges you met, or did you see connections between the practices that you choose, like maybe they were connected, whatever, what was meaningful for you. And the more you share from a space of honesty within, the more you will of course receive back from the others, and it will be meaningful for you. Any other question? So the speaker has 3 minutes. Yeah. Yeah, and we will tell you when to start. So, any other question, or can we go ahead? Yeah. Yes. Yes. You talk about the exercise, and yes, yeah. I mean, not the. You talk about what was important for you in this exercise. Yeah. So is it, for the speakers, is it clear what to talk about? Yeah. Okay. So then you're welcome to start. Okay, speakers, stop. Your time is up. So now it's the listener's turn, and you have 2 minutes to repeat back what you heard the speaker share. And you don't interpret, you share the exact words. You're like a mirror. So you are just reflecting back like a mirror to the speaker. And you can start now. Okay, thank you, listeners. And now it's the time for the observer. Now it's the time for the observer to share your impression, what you picked up, maybe qualities, vibration, the energy, anything nonverbal, or the subtle language.
Just from the observer.
The observer is talking to the speaker. Yeah. And you have 1 minute. Thank you, observer. Your time is up. So now we swap. So the speaker becomes the observer. The observer becomes the listener, and the listener becomes the speaker.
So new speakers, raise your hand.
Yes. So who are the new speakers?
New speakers, please raise your hand.
Raise your hand, the new speakers in each group. Yes, wonderful. And then the new observers? In each group, new observer. And the listener? Yes. No, the observer is only observing the speaker, and the observer is then sharing back to only the speaker. Can we please be quiet in all the groups so we can hear the question? In the terms of you can interpret, like the listener only repeats back like a mirror, doesn't interpret anything, but as an observer, whatever you pick up, yes, so if you pick up also from the content something which stood out or that you saw, yes, you can share that. Yeah. But it's also about like the energy and the vibration and but you can do both. Yeah. So the next speaker, you're welcome to start. You have 3 minutes from now. Okay, thank you, speaker. Your time is up. Now, for the listener, it's your time to share back to the speaker what you heard the speaker saying. So you're like a mirror. You mirror back in words what you heard the speaker say, share. Okay, thank you, listener. And now is the observer's time to share your observation with the speaker. Okay, thank you, observer. So now we do the last round. So who is the last speaker? Raise your hand, please. The last speaker in each group. And the last observer. And the last listener. Wonderful. So, speaker, please go ahead. Okay, thank you, speakers. Your time is up. And now the listeners turn to repeat back, like a mirror, to the speaker, what you heard. Thank you, listener. And then the last time, the observer, your turn. Okay, thank you, observers. So now we can all come back in the big circle. You can, You can rearrange the chairs and just come back in the big circle.
Wonderful. So now that we're transitioning into the next phase, we would like to invite Dipti Ben and Gopi Ben up to the front to have a conversation with each other and with us about how this connects. How do these things about lifestyle that we've spent this morning churning on, how does lifestyle connect to yoga, connect to intellect? What is the connection between these? That's what we're going to discuss and explore this afternoon. And if we can, we'll have the cushions out. If we can have those who can come sit on the floor, can come sit up front. There are cushions on the side here. You can grab a cushion too. And there's some back jacks on the left.
Om Shanti. So before we start the session, your young brothers and sisters, well, only the brothers, want to share their journey with you. Come. Leave your bags down.
Om Shanti. So we were churning the murli, and then we decided the best way to churn the murli was to write a song. And so that's what we did. And now we're going to perform it.
Today's topic on Satipradhan lifestyle. I think when I came to Baba, one of the things that that drew my attention, I was at university, and I had a lifestyle then, which was quite nice. I had a good time. And then it began to change. I had friends and I had, we spent a lot of time in the canteen at the university. All of that was there and it was good. I really had a nourishing university life. But my university life was not complete. Something was missing. And so I think when I got introduced to Baba and the whole aspect of pure food and good company and just Amrit Vela, I remember getting up for Amrit Vela every day, and I said to myself from day one, non-negotiable. So the day I started Amrit Vela, from that day till today, I try my best. The only time I may have missed it is if I was very sick or I was traveling and there was a time difference. But Amrit Vela became such a foundation of my life. And I realized how so many things changed. And in the beginning, when I used to be at university, by 11 o'clock I used to fall off to sleep because I used to get up so early. And my friend used to tug me and say, hey, wake up. And then she used to see me and she asked me, have you fallen in love or what's happening? Because she would see me daydreaming. But these were all like shifts that kind of brought an energy alive for me. And the more and more I was determined to do it, and even meant I fell off to sleep, even it meant that during my lunch break, when my friends were eating their chips, and I said, no thanks, and I was quite hungry. But over a period of time, how it became so much more beautiful and so powerful in the midst of what it may have looked like in the beginning, where all the things that I enjoyed had to have an upgrade. And that's what I felt it was all about, was having an upgrade on the things that were meaningful and nice. So that's where my journey of Satipradhan lifestyle began. And I remember once Sister Gopi sharing, and I'm sure she'll share with you, she came into Gyan at a very young age, and how her schooling years were so nourishing with Baba. So maybe you can share about that, Sister Gopi.
I think over many years of journeying with Baba, when you know, as a child, when you come to Baba, it's easy to accept the gifts that Baba gives you because you're quite pure. So you just accept it. You accept what Baba says. You accept what the feelings Baba gives. There's nothing to challenge it. As an adult, you have more noise in your head. And then when Baba's Gyan comes, you resist it. No, maybe like this, maybe like that. So as a child, it was very easy and it was very logical for me what God was saying. And I could see what He was saying. And I could feel it. And then, you know, when you start living life and you are faced with circumstances and situations, then it's about how do you sustain what you see when everybody else around you sees something different and they believe something different. And that's the reality. And that's when really, quietly, your gyan, your intellect, your divine vision and divine intellect can work for you. Because it's not about conforming. I know that a deep part of us maybe lacks in self-respect, so to try and fit in, we will compromise our values. And yet as you do that, and you compromise, your self-respect just suffers further. Nobody else will suffer. They will continue with their addictions, they'll continue with their stuff. So I subconsciously realized from a young age that if I was going to stay safe, I needed to stay close to Baba. So all my decisions in my life, and it was a conscious decision I made, that everything I'm going to do in my life, I have to stay close to Baba. So what does that look like practically? When it comes to choosing which university you're going to go to. Right? Practically, I was given entrance to Oxford University to study law. People would give an arm and a leg to go and study to Oxford University. There was no center in Oxford at that time. So I went and had a look. Of course, you stay in shared accommodation, you're sharing a kitchen. There's no center there at that time. And I thought to myself, And I had the option of a few other universities, but of course, this is what my parents were pushing for, it's prestige. And I thought to myself, if I stay here, then I have to compromise something. Because I don't even have my own room. And I don't even have this. So I decided not to go to Oxford University. Every single person in my life thought I'd gone crazy. My parents were very disappointed, even though they're Brahmins. And yet my decision was, and I knew myself, I cannot compromise my food and I cannot compromise my living. Because if I do, I will be studying at the expense of my unhappiness. And that's no study. You'll get a name and a title, but you'll lose your treasure. So what? And yet that's the very place I ended up serving. Very interesting. 14 years in getting Oxford, the retreat center, up and running.
So 14 years.
And ensuring, you know, very big programs, unique programs, breaking into the university mindset. Very interesting how karma works. And I felt, you know, these are decisions when you make conscious decisions to stay close to Baba. You get a gift that is beyond anything you can imagine. So I chose a university that was 5 minutes away from home. So I could stay at home. I travel every day. And I ensured that, of course, my food was taken care of, my accommodation, I could go to the center every day, zip to university, come back. I was happy. I got my degree, and then you forget everything you got. I didn't get my degree. I left halfway, by the way. These are the decisions that we make. So, my point is that, you know, when you start to see the value of what Baba is in your life, it's not just about living life like a free boat on waves, no anchor. Baba's your anchor. That means you've got to start creating a direction for yourself based on how close you want to stay to Baba. Now, you know, when you start following truth, then what does friendship look like at school or college, university? What does that look like? Yeah, you're pretty much alone for a short while until your energy starts to attract the right people to you. And in my case, when we moved, because I was born in Africa and we moved to England, myself and my brother were the only two Asians in this school. We were in a part of England that was very, very conservative. I had no language and no awareness of racism. Well, you know what they call racial discrimination. I had no idea that existed. You know how naive you are when you grow up? You just think everybody's good and everybody's, you know. And I suppose slowly within the first few months of us being there, it became quite clear, especially in my case, I think Ash had his own journey, but in my case, I had three particular souls that really went out of their way to give me a hard time. And I'm not just talking about, you know, unconscious jealousy, remarks, comments. I'm talking about, you know, I remember, and this is not a story I share a lot, but I will share it with you because there was an outcome of it. I remember arriving into school one day, and because the schooling system had changed, I was held back by 1 year so I could fit into the new GCSE system, you know, in Britain they had. Anyway, so I'd completed the syllabus, but I had to wait. And in that period of time, I remember these three individuals And two of them, I arrived one day in school, and I arrived into, the class had changed, the room had changed, and I went into the wrong room. They came in, they locked the room behind me, two others came in, they put me on a table, they took an ink pad, and they rubbed ink all over my face. And I remember, you know, there were some days in school, I would just go home crying, because of the sense of isolation that you experienced when people reject you because of the color of your skin. You don't understand why. And I remember lying on that table, really puzzled, why are they doing this? I thought this was the most stupidest thing to do. But why are they doing this? And I thought, well, if I don't understand why they're doing this, they don't understand why they're doing it. You know, it's just, it's like an action from a place of ignorance, which they call fun. And you know, something in me powerfully changed that day. That whole incident, believe it or not, it didn't make me cry. It totally made me silent. It was just weird. Normally people would become victims in that situation. And yet some very deep, powerful truth got activated in me. And I remember walking home in silence that day, feeling they don't understand what they're doing. And really deeply feeling a lot of mercy for them. They need help. And I'm watching myself thinking like this as I'm going home. And I thought to myself, how can I help them? And that's when I decided, I mean, the center was literally 1 minute away from school, like, and 3 minutes away from my house. So I'd walk to the center. So I decided every morning, 6 o'clock to 6:30, that meditation I would dedicate in sending good wishes and good vibes to these three people. And I did. For 1.5 months, that morning meditation before Murli, I would just fill myself with so much love, sit next to Baba, and Baba would just shower so much love, and I would have this pure thought, I hope you have a good day, I hope you have a good morning, you know, just really from a pure space. And it's funny, you know, after 1.5 months, those three people turned around and became three of my best friends for the next 2.5 years. Why do I share this with you? Because truth is something that doesn't come from the intellect. Truth is in the soul. It's an impulse in the soul. And when we put ourselves in front of Baba, that truth powerfully awakens. Especially when you have an honest relationship with Baba. And that truth reveals itself in the form of mercy. See? Baba is not judgmental when we make a mistake, is he? Baba is merciful. And many times in my life I've witnessed how when I am with Baba, that truth reveals itself in a form of mercy. You know, when we talk about the divine intellect, what are we talking about? You hear this a lot. And it's a gift we get from Baba when we come to Baba. It's the ability to take Baba's thoughts and experience a lift from Baba's thoughts. When you hear some of Baba's thoughts, they instantly give you a lift. That's the divine intellect. Receiving Baba's thoughts and experiencing an instant lift from it. It's a gift we have. Now what happens sometimes is that we hear Baba's thoughts, be it through the Murali, be it through classes, but we don't experience a lift. Do you? I know, yeah, I know what Baba says, and I know what he says, but you're still at ground zero. And that's because there's some influence on the intellect. And for me, you know, the building blocks of a lifestyle begin from intellect. Deeply. And the closer the soul is to Baba, the more you can recognize the Rajo and Tamo influences on the intellect. Because if I'm not experiencing a lift from truth, I'm experiencing a descent. You know, like I fall, a feeling of falling, my reaction. It means there's an influence. Can I recognize that influence? That's when the intellect has to labor. You have to think harder. You have to work it out. You analyze it. You rationalize it. You talk about it. And you go into so much expansion. Because you're trying to cope with your disturbance. And so, you know, for me, most of the journey of keeping the divine intellect has been about keeping it clean. And also having the humility to ask myself, why am I having to work hard here? Why is it that my divine intellect isn't making me see divinity? Just like in the situation of being bullied. With retrospect, you'd say I was bullied. Right? But in that moment, what was powerfully working for me was my divine intellect. That allowed me to see the situation in a merciful way and work with Baba. A divine intellect can't be influenced by anything undivine. Because it's a deeply merciful intellect. And through its mercy, it has the ability to be like an alchemist stone, you know, transform something that's undivine into divine. But if there's an influence there, it doesn't work for you. And the challenge is, can I see the influence? Or am I the slave of the influence? Because Maya is very clever. And she will use your cleverness to deceive you, quite powerfully. And you'll think you're being knowledgeable and jnani and whatever, but she's completely taken the intellect off in a different direction. So for me, you know, the most powerful tool has been ensuring that I create a space in my life that allows my divine intellect to work for me. So I can lift myself through things quickly. Quick, quick, quick. No labor. And a big part of it is decisions, making decisions. You know, about Rajo and Tamo influences in my life. When you make a decision, energy flows, you get Baba's help. That's what courage is about. When you don't make a decision, you stay split. Here, there, and so much time is wasted. So decisions are important. Because when you make and have the courage to make a decision, you will feel Baba support you through. You will be tested, but you will feel Baba's help and support. So don't ask the question how. It's a meaningless question. If you ask the question how, it means you don't want to change. When you really deeply recognize the value of something, then immediately it's, that's what I want, I'm going to make a decision around that. If there's a how, it means this is actually really what I want, that looks good, but this is what I really want. There's no how involved. With the divine intellect. Divine intellect, very clear. Once it sees the gem, it goes straight for the gem. It only sees the gem. You know, somebody with a gift of a divine intellect, their feelings don't change. They can be truthful and honest without their feelings changing. Because there's no influence there to change your feeling. But if there is an influence, and often the influence comes from your past, some memory from your past, the influence can come from something around you, but more often it's the influence from your past sanskars or past memory that gets triggered powerfully. And then like today's Murli, if you don't have enough yoga power, your Maya just eats you up alive. She just swallow you up like a frog. So you know, for me it's really been deep honesty in my relationship with Baba. My relationship with Baba has changed and morphed and taken on so many different forms. But I've always felt, no matter what happens in my life, I have to emerge victorious, not just for myself, but for those around me. And there are things we have to tolerate. Because for 63 births, we've been up to a lot of mischief. Right? So we've behaved in ways or done things that haven't been so clean. And that will come back to us in this birth. You know, Mama would say to the Kumaris, if some of the Kumaris would come running to Mama and say, "Oh, this senior sister, they didn't speak to me properly." Or they, you know, Mama said, "Just consider it a karmic account being settled." Everything you have ever given out in your cycle is going to come back to you in some form or the other. You cannot blame anybody for being who they are. You get my point? And these are powerful truths to accept that keep you close to Baba. So if I'm blaming someone because they're judging me, can I ask myself the question, why am I seeing that? Why am I feeling judged? It's because it's an energy that I've given out powerfully and it's coming back to me. And once I accept that and I take responsibility of what's coming back to me as a settlement, then I can free myself to be with Baba. If I don't accept it as a settlement, what do you start to do? What do you do? Sorry? You take revenge. You make a big drama out of it. You make a big fuss out of it. Make sure everybody knows about this person's defect. Right? Smokescreen. It's all the smokescreen of your ego. And yet you miss out on the quiet truth. Something is deeply being settled. Let me just allow this energy to come and pass by, and let me sustain Baba's vision and Baba's truth here and Baba's love. These are truths that liberate you from conflict. Internal conflict and external conflict. Because at this time in Sangam Yoga, if your sanskars of non-violence are not emerging, how are you going to experience Satyug? So any kind of influence on the intellect brings a sense of labor and internal conflict. And you know, slowing myself down to see that honestly, it takes time. Because the last person we see is ourselves sometimes. We get a lot of messages from other people, but the last person we see is ourselves. So for me, you know, my whole journey of creating a sattva-pradhan lifestyle means that I have to stay, and my decisions have to be on the basis of staying close to the truth of the one that's ever pure. No matter what, I have to let go, abstain. You know what abstain means? Abstain means to stay away from something. Srimat helps us to abstain. When you follow Srimat, like Dipti Ben said, you have to abstain from the chips. Right? As tempting, you have to abstain from the cream cake you see in the window of a shop. It's abstinence, powerful. Now that's gross level, food, people. What about a subtle level? Staying away from your own tamopradhan thinking. Abstaining from your own rajopradhan opinions and mindsets. Because what does Srimad say? First consider yourself to be a soul and remember me. Then see what happens. So for me, there's been a lot of experimentation that my priority is, no matter what, I have to stay close to Baba. That's where everything starts. Your whole sattopradhan lifestyle begins from proximity. And there will be 1,000 reasons that may come. Yes, okay. But that's because you don't want to stay close, that's why they come. Many things happen in a family. You know, in your own Lokic families, brothers and sisters fight. Don't get on with you don't want to listen to what your mom and dad says. It's a family. But if you want to stay close, if that really is your aim, you will hear in Baba's Murli the truth that supports that aim. And you will stay successful in staying close. But if you don't want to stay close, because you don't value your purity, and you don't value Baba as truth and a pure being, then there will always be one reason or another to keep a distance. And yeah, for you it will be a reason, because that's where you're at. And that's your reality, and you'll create that reality, and you'll stay comfortable in that reality. But distance will mean Maya will live her life through you. You will never be fully happy. So you know, happiness is one of the most important things in my life. And I know that my happiness comes when I stay close to Baba. And I know my happiness comes when I'm able to sustain truth in my life with Baba. And that's the courage. So every bit of your organizing your life is going to take courage. It's not going to get handed to you on a plate. Some tough decisions have to be made. But when you want something, it's not tough. Lokic people in their world, they make decisions all the time, right? They want to do things, they do things. So why can't we do the same? And you know, at the end of the day, the person that really stays true to something elevated, the energy of respect flows. I've seen that. These three souls that gave me such a hard time for 6 to 8 months, deep respect after that. It's possible. So when you said nourishing school life, this was the incident. It was a full life, yeah, for sure. For sure.
I think one of the things I discovered after finishing my university was this level of independence and realizing that after I graduated, I had a salary every month, and I could do what I wanted to do with it. And it was a very beautiful space of understanding lifestyle, energy, money, and what I needed to do. And I saw how from the beginning, when I was able to understand the energy of money, how it supported my intellect. I used to walk from my Lockick home to the center, and that was every morning for Murli class. Murli class used to be at 6 o'clock, and I had to leave about 5:20, and I had to pass by all the dogs, you know, there's dogs on the road, and they were all barking. And the reality is that when I was going for Murli class, I never got permission from my parents, so I made a spare key and went out through the back door. And every day I got a good lecture when I came back. But I kept doing what I needed to do. And so when I had wealth in my hands, I could buy a car, could live on my own, could do many things. And so there was an energy that came alive. And at the same time, Baba was very much a very strong ingredient in my journey. And I think those beginning years of knowing how to manage finance, how to manage money in that way, had helped me a lot in my yoga. Because whilst I was still at university, I really wanted to come and meet Baba. But I never had money for my flight. So I had decided that I'm going to work part-time. So even though I was finishing off my university years, I worked part-time. I worked in the afternoon, I worked weekends. And I had to choose then of where I would spend the money and how much I would be able to save to come to Madhuban. And so I kind of had to work it out. And I remember it was December, end of November, and the brother who was taking care of the center said, "Who's going to Madhuban in December?" And my hand was up. And the money that I had earned by that time would maybe have been my taxi fare to get to the airport. You know what I mean? Because it's not cheap. But because I saved every cent that I possibly could, that was my yoga energy. And in October that year, I turned 21. And my uncle in India said to me that, "You've never come to India for many years. You're 21 years old." So he sent me a ticket to go to India. Yeah? It was so, and I knew my parents wouldn't allow me to go to India like that. So this came from my uncle, and I didn't first go to my uncle, I first came to Baba. But what I'm saying, it's like the energy of, I had to really adjust my lifestyle. There's so many things I wanted to do, so many things I wanted to buy, just to be sustainable. But for that whole year, I thought, Madhuban, 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 because I have to save this myself. And that refined my yoga. You know? Money and yoga is not separate. The energy is very connected. No? And so, when I think about that in that way of the Sita Pradhan lifestyle, I remember how drama would cooperate, and I made it to Madhuban. And the day that I left to come from Madhuban, it was on a Saturday morning. My flight was at 11:40, and my mother got sick, and she was in ICU that evening. Nobody knew I was going to India, because I wrote a legal letter when I was 21, but they wouldn't let me go. My mama had given me an opportunity to come to India, but if my parents knew I was first going to the Brahma Kumaris, it would have been a no-no. And so, how one side, my mother was in ICU. I went to go and see her at 5 o'clock in the morning. My bags were packed quietly. And I looked at her and I thought, I may never see you again, but God's calling me, I have to go. And at that moment I said to Baba that my mother, who has been an excellent mom in my life, she's in your hands, whatever it is. But you've called me. And so I found, on the one hand, if you put relationships with God, you hand them over to God, how Baba holds that yogi energy in your connection. When I handed over my spending money to Baba, Baba brought me to India. It's like all these, our relationships or our money, they are all energies that can either break our yoga or link our yoga. Yeah. And I remember getting onto that flight at 20 to 12 on that Saturday morning. And before that, when I left the hospital, I looked at my mother and I thought, you've been a great mom. You know? When I came back from India, she was totally alive and totally fine. Imagine if I just didn't go. And that was the last year that Baba met personally. You know what I mean? So it was a test. But it was what I put first. And then when I finally graduated and had my first salary, and just that whole feeling of I could be independent, and yet at the same time, what is it that will keep my yoga linked with Baba? And so always for me, the aspect that came when the brother shared that from your first salary, always have the aim to make a contribution to Baba first. And so when I earned, even today, even though I don't have a proper job, I make sure from my side, I put money in Baba's Bhandara every month, regardless. And somehow, even if I don't have the money, it comes in my hand. And that money, which I could have used for many things, I first put it in Baba's box. And Baba looks after me. It's incredible. That's when you feel cared for by God. Your money could look after you, but there's a very big difference between money looking after you and God looking after you. Big, big difference in energy. With me? So when we talk about lifestyle and we talk about the energy of money, especially because I know that if I've had certain amount of money, I could make certain decisions and be independent. But many a times, because I put Baba first, it was a kind of a putting Baba first, so it meant that I should choose something to do it a little differently. But from that time to now, I totally experience how Baba looks after me. There's never once in my life, never once, that I felt I wish I had this or that, but I don't have the money for it. You know? Our money, our possessions, our way of living either breaks our yoga or makes our yoga. They're not separate. I can't say I'm comfortable living like this and then I'll have yoga. You just can't. You'll sit there and nothing will happen. You'll be pretending to sit for 2 hours. Yeah, there's no love. It's like these moments that you kind of decide that Baba, you first. You know, Baba is a very royal Baba. He's not a taker. He's a royal Baba. So when you put something first towards Baba, he treats you with royalty. He doesn't need my money, But when I offer that, there's a purification. And almost immediately your mind and intellect becomes clean. It's like, I don't have to sit in yoga and say, I need to clean my mind and intellect. Just every energy that you have available to you, if you purify that energy, your intellect will become pure. If you have physical energy, and you could use that energy to do many things, but if you use that energy creatively and say, Baba, I've got these 2-3 hours, I will creatively help. I'll help at the center, or if I have a certain talent, I will use that. It's not that I need to do a task or I need to go do service at the center. It's not that. It's about energy. And so I say to myself, I've got energy. This energy could be a chilled out energy, or this energy could be multiplied. And when I do that, it's like Baba remembers me. You know, we have to learn the art of whether we like move around in a circle and hope that something happens, or we step out of it and try something different. And then Baba gets bound to you. And so then I feel in my life, I experience a lot of freedom, but I experience a lot of safety. Because the freedom comes from an internal space, and because I've stayed in the boundaries of Baba's Maryadas and what he has suggested for me, there's a safety. And as a result of that, there is a connection with Baba. You know, in the first day we were talking about having a connection with Baba. It's not just about sitting down yoga. It's not about just saying, I'm going to be pure. What makes you pure is your lifestyle. It's the way you get up in the morning. It's the way you connect. You know? Everything.
It's how you engage all your energies with Baba.
Yeah.
And there are three main energies. You know, what Dipti Ben shared is very important because mind, body, and wealth. How these three things are engaged with Baba will determine the quality of your yoga. And you know, sometimes, because that's where, in these three areas, the most karmic accounts are created. Through your body, relations, misuse of money. Most all your karmic accounts are created through these three. So you can't just, you know, build your own lifestyle in your own cocoon and then think, I'm a yogi, I'm okay, fine, by myself. It doesn't work like that. It's like all these things have to be purified. And they are decisions that have to be made to become independent in your relationship with Baba in relation to these three things. I had the privilege of growing up in a BK family. Her parents were, and my parents were, a full family. Every year we'd be dragged to Madhuban as a family. 1 year, I said, enough is enough. Then I decided and I thought to myself, I have to build my life with Baba. But my parents are well off. I used to get pocket money. One day I decided I'm not taking any pocket money from them. Because if I take money from them, I have to listen to what they have to say. They're going to rule my life. So I'm not taking any money from them. So then I thought, if I don't have any money, I've got to go and earn some money. And then I'm still at college. So I thought to myself, I need to get a part-time job because I have to earn money. One, I have to put in Baba's box. A regular connection in Baba's box is essential. It's not about quantity, it's about regularity. And the feeling that this is my Baba, I'm supporting Baba. You know, this is my contribution to Baba. This is my commitment to myself to keep my relationship with money clean. So in the future, if anything related to money comes to me, my intellect will work accurately. So I thought to myself, what kind of job shall I get? And of course, I could have gotten any job. My parents didn't know. And then I thought to myself, what do I want to do? thought, I want to get a job, because if I'm going to be a world server, then I want to get a job that serves people. Okay? And then additionally on top of that, I thought to myself, okay, and I also want a job that breaks my ego. I might as well start breaking my ego from now, so then it can get easier as I grow older. So I decided, very strategically, to get a part-time job at an old people's rest home, care home, for old people, and a cleaning job. I didn't tell my parents, because if I told my parents, phew, they'd hit the roof. So I'd quietly, I'd just say, oh, I'm just going to my friend's house, and I'd go to work. And I earned enough money for my own ticket to Madhuban, to go on my own. I thought, that's it. I've got to do this by myself. This is between me and you. So I managed to earn enough money in a year to get a ticket to Madhuban in December. No, we didn't meet up. It was just December was a time. I don't know. It just worked. Holiday period. And when I remember saying to my parents, I'm going on my own, they thought I was crazy. Where are you going to get the money from? I said, I have my money. Where did you earn it from? I said, you don't need to know, but I have my money. And I got the ticket, and of course I wasn't going to travel on my own. So there was a student from the center, Jane, I remember. She used to live in a caravan, very lovely soul. So we decided to go on the same flight. And of course, the amount of money you have at that time when you're a student is enough to buy you a flight on Turkmenistan Airlines. You know, the cheapest flight possible with like a 12-hour layover in Turkmenistan, right? So who cares? I'm on my own. It's an adventure. So we arrive at the airport in Heathrow. And of course, Turkmenistan Airlines, who's heard of that? Nobody. It's late. You've heard of it? Yeah, Russia. Russia, you were born there. So very interesting. It's late. And of course, the majority of people on this flight are Indians, because it's cheap. All Indians go for anything that's cheap. Now, little do I know, is that as we're in the queue waiting for the counters, everybody's creating a fuss. And of course, me and Jane are sitting there quietly, and you know, we're just watching this. They're patient, having yoga. And BBC camera crew, they're doing behind the scenes at Heathrow. And I don't know that, right? So they're filming everybody. Somebody comes to us and interviews us. And we don't know why we'd be. We say, yeah, just, you know, need to have more patience. These things happen. We know. Fluctuation. Then we arrive in Turkmenistan. The BBC crew is on the flight, by the way. We arrive in Turkmenistan, and again, the plane is delayed. We're there for 24 hours. Nobody gives us tickets or coupons or anything. And the rest of the crew, the rest of the air, passengers, you know, they're getting upset. And again, we get interviewed again. We finally arrive in Ahmedabad. And then we have to take the train from Ahmedabad to Abu Road. So all that happens. And then, I arrive very, very tired in Madhuban. But I made it. Right? And, you know, it was the feeling of being welcomed by Baba. I walked into Baba's room and Baba just embraced me and said, my Raja Bacha. I thought, yes. You know? And it was like a time in Madhuban where I was free. Because I had made my effort. And my commitment to God was made from my blood and sweat. It wasn't borrowed money. It wasn't excuse money. It was my blood and sweat, because I needed to sit in front of God on my own without the shackles of my Lokic family. But these are choices. So your effort, everything is effort. And you can't cut short effort, because effort has a deep link with intention. You know, when I left university and I decided to come to Baba's home, I was very careful. I said, I'm not coming to Baba's home empty-handed. It's not my royalty to come to Baba's home empty-handed. I sold all my law books. I sold 1.5 wardrobes of clothes. I packed all my belongings into 2 suitcases. And I came to Baba's house, my 2 suitcases and something to put into Baba's box. I thought, I want to start my journey with Baba with fullness, with benevolence. I'm not a taker. No. So these are moments, the defining moments in our life. Because, you know, now, I said today, money flows through my hands. Trust me. Large amounts flow through my hands. To this day, I keep my accounts. I used to have a piggy bank from 2 years old. And I would count my pennies every evening and I would write it in a little notebook. My relationship with wealth has become so clean that I don't even have to think about money now. I don't have to worry about money. There was a time in the center when you came to the center. And of course, you get provided for. And I came from a very well-to-do background. So I liked my nice clothes. I had my nice shoes. I had my nice things. Of course, when you come to the center, it's simple lifestyle. You see something nice, you can't just go and buy it. You're provided for. But I would remember every time I thought, I felt I needed a coat for winter. It was winter time. It was amazing. Like a few weeks later, Gentle Ben would come in with this little bag and she goes, "Gopi, I've got this coat for you. Will you wear it? Really nice coat." I thought, "How did you know?" She goes, "Well, you know, this is how Baba works. You don't have to ask for anything. Because it's not our royalty to ask for anything. It's better to die than to ask." This is what, how when you talk about Baba caring for you, this is how it works. Now, of course, when I was at the center, my Lokic father, he's a Brahmin, but of course he has concern, you know, so he would often give me money every 6 months. I would take that batch, that little envelope of money, and I would go straight to Daddy. And I'd say, "This is what my father has given." She would just give me drishti and take the packet. Right? So the first few times when she took the packet, I felt something. But after a while, this was important because it was purifying the attachment that my father had to me, to my security. I was giving it to my unlimited father because this is the father that's looking after me. After 7 years of handing over that packet religiously, one day, Daddy looked at me, gave me drishti, and she said, "Open an account that's float money for travel." Little did I know that my journey of traveling so much would begin. And from that day, there was no worries of how I was going to be looked after. And I know till this today, anything happens in Baba's yagya, even if I have to go out and get a job, no problem. I'm Baba's son. That's my feeling. He's my Baba. My life is for him. And whatever it takes, Baba comes first. So when you're building the blocks of a Satopradhan lifestyle, you are making Baba's energy a priority in your life, the priority in your life.
It's about really putting Baba first.
Yeah.
In a very natural way. Mm. You know,
and conscious way.
Yeah, conscious and natural. It's like a choice.
It has to be a choice.
You know, this year, this body had a bit of a challenge and I saw how Baba, because I used this body for all these years for Baba, because karma yoga is something I've always believed in and valued, that even though I had to settle some karma through the body this year, it happened quick. And I was so well looked after. So well. And it was so real that because this body was used as Baba first, and whatever the need of this body had to be for karma yoga, for the things that needed to be done, even when there was a settlement of an account, I felt so powerfully during that whole thing that Baba had put me on his lap. Afterwards, when I heard from other people how dramatic and traumatic and all of that scene looked to everyone else, but to me, I was in Baba's hands. It was such a powerful feeling. And just that feeling again, that, you know, any energy. So then there's never a fear of security. Because this word security is a very deep word in our psyche that needs to be looked after. Because we look for security in a certain way. And when we look for security in that way, then Baba steps aside. Because this is okay, no problem. Because if that's your decision, that's your decision. So Baba will stand on the side. He won't get involved. But soon as you find your security in Baba, you'll see how he looks after you. I found whether it was financially, whether there's a karmic settlement through the body. I felt during this year one of the experiences I had during this time of settlement that Baba was 100% present with me. I remember being in that ICU unit and Baba was so present that even the doctors had an experience.
I think this is key. I think what you just said is very key, that when you put Baba first, you don't know how service happens through that.
The doctor in the final blood test results sent me the blood test and said, "You are fine now, but thank you. In your presence, I never experienced a patient, being with a patient, but I experienced divinity." Yeah? And yet I didn't even know what was happening. You know, he was a Jewish doctor, a very nice man, very, very good soul. But because of the sudden sickness, I was drugged. I had no idea what was happening. I was totally out of it. But their efforts over a long, long period of time, the vibration served. That in front of him, you know, soon after that he came to the center. Because his last line was, "It was actually a privilege. I didn't work with the patient. I was touched by divinity."
But it was your honest relationship with Baba over many years that served.
Yeah.
You know, that allowed that service to happen. And service happened. You know the Turkmenistan Airlines story? 2 weeks later, BBC aired that clip, "Patience Amidst Chaos." And myself and Jane were plastered all over in the BBC news. And that's how my relatives found out. "Mum and Dad were so happy. You're on TV. Look, you're on TV." I had no idea. I never even seen the clip where they recorded it. And I got to see the clip afterwards.
So it serves.
When you put Baba first, yes, you have to abstain and refrain. But what for? You're letting go of chickpeas for nothing. It doesn't even feel like renunciation. And powerful service happens through that. Service that you can't imagine happens through that. Not in a million years would I have expected to be plastered all over BBC News and the head titled "Patience Amidst Chaos." And our interview was aired.
So when we look at lifestyle, and today you dealt with the whole energy of Satipradhan lifestyle, it's not about just what you do. It's not... This journey is not what you do, but what you're willing to engage in. And it's an energy. And everything is an energy. Mm. Baba is an energy. You are an energy. Mm. And the things that are happening in between you and Baba is an energy. And if that energy is purified and used in the right way, it just brings a connection. I don't have to say, "I'm going to do this and that and then I'll have yoga." It's not "then I'll have yoga." But Baba becomes present when you are in the right space.
You know, yesterday we were in Pandavabhavan together. And I had a meeting. And I thought the meeting would finish at 7. And it carried on till 8. And we'd had a plan to have dinner in Pandavabhavan. So I come out of the meeting at 8. And she's waiting outside. And so then we say, "Okay, we'll come back for dinner." And in the car I said to her, "But why didn't you go and have dinner at 7:30? She didn't say anything. But that's what Baba would have done. That's friendship. When there's so much of that feeling in your heart. You know, when there's Baba's love is present, there's always an acknowledgement of care. She wouldn't have eaten alone.
Lucky wasn't there.
She wanted her khichdi. But this is what I mean, is that it's not in the big things. These are small daily decisions we make in our lives, where either you put you first, me first, or Baba first. And what would Baba do here? How would Baba think here? What would Baba say here? Okay.
Thank you both for grounding this morning.
I think
so. We've had a beautiful journey this morning, going from pairs to reflection to some input that's helping put all of our churning in the larger picture of why this is important. We're going to carry this vibration with us now. It was a reminder into lunch that our lunch again will sit at the special tables reserved for the youth that have the silence signs on them. So they're all in the sun. We've chosen good tables. So go sit at a sunny table, enjoy Baba's warmth, and keep holding that vibration of the Satopradhan state. The second announcement is about sports this afternoon. We have Brother Satyanarayan from Gansrover is leading a hike at 2 o'clock. So can we get a quick show of hands, those who are interested in the hike? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, good. So that's a good group. So you'll meet at reception, Gansrover main reception at 2 o'clock with Brother Satyanarayan. There will also be cricket. Yes, Amit Bhai? No. Okay. So maybe you can check and clarify around then, because we'll go for lunch until 2. But hike will definitely happen today. And then the third and most important announcement is we've been given another gift from the drama and from the yagya, which is that the current plan is to meet Dadi Janki tonight. So Dadi is coming specially up to meet all the double foreigners and all of those in the retreat. So she'll be meeting everyone at 6:30. Which means we'll still be having our session here. So we're going to start right at 5. So we're going to be very punctual. We have a beautiful session this afternoon called the Chocolate Box, which means it's a panel with 4 very special souls who will be sharing their own experiences, very real, very authentic, very practical. And then that will be from 5 to 6. Yeah, to 6 or 6:15. And then together we will all walk to Harmony Hall together. Okay, so you definitely don't want to miss this chance for Dadi, so please be here, and together the youth can sit together in Harmony Hall. Wonderful. Any other questions on the plan for today? And in the evening, we have another fun event, surprise, which is that after dinner, we're having a musical night. So this is oftentimes one of the funnest parts of the retreat. So after dinner at 8:30, we will meet back here in this room, and we have some different activities. Some youth will perform, and then we have David Bai, who will also probably come and guide in some musical sessions, just to keep that lightness, that harmony within the group. So we also have some delicious treats that will be shared. So today is a day full of literal chocolates, spiritual chocolates, lots of yummy goodies. So yes, and some hot chocolate tonight. And the 13 to 15-year-olds will join for that as well. So you guys are all welcome. So the night of music will be starting at 8:30 back in this room at dinner. And please be on time for that, because we want everybody to still go to bed on time so that you can have powerful Amrit Vela tomorrow. So we'll start at 8:30 in the evening then. Okay, so we'll have a minute of silence, and then we'll continue that silence into lunch.